And what you may be wondering was the outcome. We're now back in 2018, by the way, folks. That was the end of that flashback. What was the outcome of the Coffee Klatch 3 trial? I'm going to read to you right now the story that was written by one of the three defendants, Becky Johnson, in that trial, in the July 2001 Street Spirit newspaper, which you can find online. Again, also on the same Huff website. Lots of those old articles are available there for all of you history hounds. Story. On June 1st, Judge Samuel Stevens dismissed the five-month-old harassment suit filed against three homeless activists who were lobbying in Mayor Tim Fitzmaurice's office to end the law which criminalizes homeless people if they sleep or cover up with blankets at night. David Beauvais, attorney for the defendant, said, "This is a victory for homeless activists and for those who would bring homeless issues before public officials in a persistent lobbying effort. We have more than the right to free speech in our own living rooms." Beauvais argued that the civil suit, which utilized the resources of the Santa Cruz City Attorney and Police Department, was actually a slap suit, or a strategic lawsuit against public participation. It was meant to silence homeless advocates. A February 8th hearing in Judge Kathleen Acau's court dismissed an earlier slap motion on the part of the defense. An appeal of that decision is in progress. The suit had been opposed by the California Homeless Civil Rights Organizing Project, that is, they supported us, against Mayor Fitzmaurice and the city attorney, a statewide coalition of groups working to document human rights violations against homeless people. Testimony at the hearing on the merits of the restraining order from defendant Becky Johnson included the Homeless Census 2000 report's in-time headcount of 1,273 homeless people in the city of Santa Cruz, a city with a population of 54,000 which had emergency shelter space last December for only 165. On direct examination from attorney Kate Wells, Johnson reported a rash of violence committed against homeless people and a growing death toll among the homeless. Another motive for beginning the Coffee Klatch was the death of boxer Billy Denson, who died on November 12, 2000, of apparent hypothermia, which has been happening recently in 2018, 18 years later, by the way, or 17 years later, that prompted a small group of determined activists to begin a lobbying effort on December 4th, 2000, called the City Hall Coffee Klatch and Tag Team Teach-In. Serving coffee at 10 a.m. each business day, the activists took turns going into the public reception area of Mayor Fitzmaurice's office to attempt to make an appointment with Fitzmaurice, who controls the city council agenda. Often the activists were met by administrative assistant Anna Brooks, who took their messages and delivered them to the mayor and members of the Santa Cruz City Council. Defendant Bernard Klitzner testified that on December 13th, quote, Mayor Fitzmaurice came out of his office and ordered Brooks to take a memo saying that the people in the office were speaking at the top of their lungs inches from staff. Since no one had been talking loudly, we were quite concerned that the mayor was creating a false record about us. Nor did Fitzmaurice file a disturbing the peace complaint. Robert Norris testified that again on December 15th, Mayor Fitzmaurice ordered his staff to take a memo reporting that Robert Norris, Becky Johnson, and Bernard Klitzner were speaking, quote, at the top of their lungs. During testimony, Beauvais revealed that Anna Brooks was not in the office on December 15th. How can this be evidence of the harassment of Ms. Brooks? Because that was what the civil lawsuit was about. They claimed the three of us were harassing Tim Fitzmaurice's administrative assistant, Anna Brooks, who's still working in the city offices, by the way. When she was not even in the office on that date, Beauvais asked. On December 21st, the very day that the Homeless Service Center reported the deaths of 41 homeless people for the year 2000, Brooks signed her declaration claiming that harassment by the three defendants made her, quote, emotionally distraught and, quote, unable to perform my job duties. Her claims of harassment included, quote, occupying the office furniture for their personal use, making it unavailable for use by other persons, quote, talking to people who came and went, quote, passing out flyers, quote, making tape recordings, quote, attempting to purchase copies using a $20 bill, quote, stealing pens, quote, helping themselves to office supplies, and, quote, attempting to pilfer food from a donation barrel. Brooks also accused Johnson of a sudden assault when she videotaped her for 1 second from a distance of 10 feet in a public place. Discussed by Brooks was Municipal Code 6.36010A, which prohibits sleeping virtually anywhere in Santa Cruz City limits out of doors or in a vehicle from 11 p.m. to 8:30 a.m. That's 9.5 hours each night, Johnson reported outside the trial. We once put on an event called Don't Sleep Tonight Night, in which we asked people in houses to stay awake all night, like the law orders homeless people to do. Only two people actually made it to 8:30 a.m. I crashed around 4:30 a.m. when I got a headache, a stomach ache, and experienced extreme fatigue. It's simply not possible or humane to follow the law. That activist David Silva, who is currently overseas and in a hospital in Maputo, Mozambique, and we're jumping ahead now to 2018, has organized a kind of similar, what he calls it, a sleep fast, where folks are encouraged to try to stay awake all night and then call the city council offices and report on their experiences and also urge the city council to end the sleeping ban law. And it may be suggested by people listening to this broadcast that the sleeping ban law is now just sort of history and a dead letter, but it's on the books. And the fact that the River Street, the San Lorenzo campground is being cleared and dispersed on the 28th of February may mean that the sleeping ban itself is going to come back into favor for enforcement, because people are going to have to find places to sleep, and many of them will not be going to the fenced-off barbed wire encampment that is the city's answer to an alternative to sleep here in 2018. But getting back to the outcome of the Coffee Klatch trial and this street spirit story, which you can yourself read online if you want, as well as some of the background to the case. The Coffee Klatchers had subpoenaed Mayor Fitzmaurice to testify for the defense. One amusing point in the trial occurred when Attorney Beauvais asked the mayor if the defendants had ever or offered him coffee. No, never, Fitzmaurice testified. Beauvais immediately played a recording in which the first voice heard was that of Robert Norris offering Fitzmaurice a cup of coffee. Mayor Fitzmaurice testified he did not know when he was elected or when the last council meeting in December was. He testified he did not know the date he met with defendants Norris and Johnson. He did not know if he had the authority to call for a special session unilaterally. He did not know when his term ended. He testified that the first he heard of the Anna Brooks problems with the Coffee Klatchers was on December 20th, when he found her weeping at her desk. Also testifying in court on behalf of the mayor's aide were Susan Jansen of the Redevelopment Agency, Patty Hammond of the mayor's office, and Brooks' immediate supervisor, Suzanne Haberman. Jansen expressed fear of Norris. Quote, "I don't know what he has under that bathrobe," she testified, with apparent seriousness, referring to Norris's habit of wearing a tattered bathrobe and carrying a stuffed bear to sleeping ban demonstrations. "I don't know what he has stuffed in that teddy bear." Brooks testified that she had broken two temporary and one permanent tooth due to tightness in her jaw from tension. She testified she had lost sleep due to the Klatchers' presence in the public waiting area for several hours each day. "How much sleep have homeless people lost with one eye open to watch for cops?" asked Bernard Klitzner, the head organizer of the Coffee Klatch. Bernard has since died. Haberman testified that the charge of attempting to pilfer food from a donation barrel was based on an incident in which a homeless and hungry man had asked for some food from the barrel. "I told him no," Haberman testified. Neither Anna Brooks nor the defendants were present during the incident, but it did not stop Brooks from claiming the incident was, quote, "an attempt to pilfer and evidence of harassment of her." City Attorney John Barisoni cross-examined defendant Becky Johnson about her home phone numbers of members of the city council listed on the flyer. Quote, "The flyer is dated December 1st, 2000. The new council members, seated on November 28th, had not yet been assigned phone numbers at the council offices. We used the numbers the candidates had provided during the election. Some of them provided their home phone numbers." He showed her a photo of Nizan, a homeless Coffee Klatcher, in a wheelchair in the lobby. "How can this door be easily opened with that wheelchair there?" Barisoni asked. Johnson pointed to the photo. "The wheelchair is parked right next to where the second harvest food donation barrel had been." Critics estimate the city spent over $12,000 prosecuting the Coffee Klatch 3 for, quote, "stealing pens," whose estimated value, according to testimony by Brooks, was $2.10. "But they got to exclude us from Mayor Fitzmaurice's office for over 5 months," commented Norris. In his ruling, Judge Stevens chastised the defendants, claiming it was not a First Amendment case, but ended by ruling to dismiss the lawsuit against the Coffee Klatch 3. He stated on record that the mayor could post rules regulating conduct in the office, which he did, and have been in effect ever since. Some of us have ignored those rules because they violate the First Amendment. One example would be One example would be the fact that you're not supposed to audio members of the city staff if you're talking to them, which of course is ridiculous. There's no expectation of privacy if you're open in what you're doing and you need the best record of the conversation you're having, particularly if the staff is not providing you with the records and you need to make a record of the fact that they aren't providing you with records you're looking for or information you're seeking. Court watcher Rabbi Chaim Levin praised Stevens' decision as a victory for the First Amendment and a victory for homeless activists everywhere. And that's Becky Johnson's article in the Street Spirit of July 2001, Judge Dismisses Suit Against Homeless Activists. That's it for this edition of Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides. I hope you enjoyed the flashback, and if you've got any questions or comments, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, give a call to the Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom line at 423-4833. Huff will be having a special meeting on the 28th, Wednesday, at the Sub Rosa Cafe. We normally meet every 2 weeks, but we're going to be meeting next week as an additional meeting during the month, because that's the day, as mentioned before, when the city will be dispersing the homeless campground at the San Lorenzo Park and providing them really with no meaningful alternative place for the majority of those folks and the much larger majority of folks outside to go. Thanks. Talk to you again on Sunday.